Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery from ShopBeat Surf. I finally got a chance to talk in depth with Tim McKevlin, the owner of McKevlin Surf Shop in Folly Beach, South Carolina. I've been charmed for years by the shop's newsletter, which combines old school rebellion against corporate takeover of the surf industry with hometown charm. Tim has a very distinct philosophy that he sticks to. He does not carry any of the big apparel brands that overdistribute, and he sells only hand-shaped boards rather than mass-produced ones. His formula also includes a huge private label program and the store stocks smaller brands that don't sell to everyone. The formula seems to be working. McKevlin's is having its best year ever, and that's on top of the best year ever last year. I was stunned to hear about some of the brands that are selling well in tiny Folly Beach, including fashion-forward ones like the Critical Slide Society and Viore. We talked to Tim about all that and more, including why he thinks his store is outperforming general retail trends. Now, here is our conversation with Tim. The thing that stands out to me about you and your shop is that you have a very distinct philosophy about how you run the shop. You know, what brands you carry, what brands you don't carry, and why. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, one of our main things, surfboards, we're a surf shop, and we believe a surf shop, the number one priority at a surf shop should be surfing and surfboards. It's kind of unique these days as you have so many boutiques that sort of use surfboards as props or decoration. And we have hundreds and hundreds of surfboards, both new and used, in the shop all the time, year-round. That kind of leads me to one of our main philosophies is that we don't sell or service any pop-out surfboards. Which, what we mean by that, and people that have surfed for a long time will understand what a pop-out is and have seen plenty of them, but what we mean by that is basically a surfboard that is mass-produced and molded, so it's not actually shaped. Like, even some surfboard, a lot of brands are machine-shaped, but then a human being does have to come in and finish up, turn the rails down, and do a lot of the fine sanding and more detailed work. And what we're against is the boards that absolutely erase the shaper from the equation. Most of this is done in the Far East, and most of those boards are imported, but not every one is imported. So all the boards that we sell are at some point hand-shaped, and they all come from the United States, where we think we just like to see surfboard shaping, the art, continue, especially in the United States. And so we just want to be one of the small characters that throws all our support their way instead of spreading it out over the entire world.
And it sounds like you guys, I was reading your most recent newsletter, had a really, really good summer. Tell us about that.
It's been our best year ever so far, and we don't have a lot more left in the year, so we think we'll end up pretty well. Last year was actually our best year ever up until this year, so we think, it appears anyway, that we keep getting better and better. I think this year we're sitting at maybe about 10% up from where we were last year. In the new retail world, I guess that's a pretty huge increase. A lot of people seem to think that, or they brag that, oh, I'm doing as well as I did last year. If they can just maintain with all the distractions that all the consumers have these days, that if a retail brick and mortar place can sort of maintain, they're doing pretty darn good. And we're really happy to say that we've been increasing pretty much every year, and this has been our best year ever.
So why do you think that is? At a time of Amazon and, you know, just all the pressures on retail, why do you think you guys are doing so well?
There's some things, I think we have a formula sort of that other shops could follow, and or some of them already are, I'm sure. I'm not saying we invented it, but there are some things that other shops may or may not have. For example, we have a super great location. Folly Beach is the best surfing area in South Carolina. It's not a big area, and South Carolina isn't world famous for having the best waves on the East Coast or anything like that. But if you're going to be in South Carolina, this is the best place to be. in our location on Folly Beach. It's a tiny island. There's only one traffic light. We're on the left as you go through that one traffic light. So we're right on the main street. If you go straight by our shop and hang a left, you're at one of the very best breaks. It's the Folly Beach Fishing Pier, which is especially a real good longboard break. And then if you take a left at the traffic light and go down a couple miles, then you're at a place called the Washout, which is pretty much known as the best spot in South Carolina. It's the steepest and the most consistent. And it's where they have all the surfing contests, including the state championships. So that's one thing that we just sort of inherited. And obviously the other thing we inherited is that we have a history. And so along with that 53-year history, we also have a lot of credibility because of that. I think we've built up a reputation over the years of being honest and consistent with customers, things like that. But all that aside, what else we do is we try to make our shop a destination where we try to sell things that are unique, that aren't everywhere and aren't common. The no pop-out surfboards is one thing. Most surf shops do sell imported and pop-out surfboards, which they make a fantastic profit on. And like we had talked about, they also have consignment, so they have practically no risk. But we don't do that. We sell hand-shaped surfboards, which makes us somewhat unique. And then with all the clothing brands and a lot of the accessory brands, too, we try to generally pick smaller companies or companies that have a very limited distribution. So they want to have one or two retailers, distributors in a certain area. They don't want to put it in every department store and every mall and all of that sort of thing. So we, instead of going with the big guys, Billabong, Quiksilver, Vulcan, O'Neill, I guess it used to be Rusty, and some other ones, all of those brands we've carried before when they were smaller. And then as they expanded their distribution and they started selling in a lot of non-surf-related stores, that's when we dropped them. I mean, we probably haven't sold Quiksilver in over 30 years. Instead, we do brands that are more very surf-centric, I guess you might say. Like for clothing, we do Rip Curl, for example, is one of our bigger companies, and Lost, who also makes surfboards. And then smaller companies after that, like Birdwell, who has a great history, and we've sold since the mid-60s, a couple of newer brands, Viori and TCSS, the Critical Slide Society from Australia. Those are all brands that are harder to find, a little bit harder to find, and are a bit more unique than some of the big guys that you can also, besides the big box stores, you can even sometimes find those in Costco warehouses and things like that. And then in addition to the brands, we also do a ton of private label merchandise. As far as the clothing side goes, we have our own McKevlin's brand things that we create, t-shirt designs and hat designs. And that's expanded over, that's how it started, was just t-shirts and hats. And then over the years, that's expanded into a whole ton of other things as far as clothing goes. Now we're doing rash guards and fleece and board shorts, walk shorts, nice shirt, jackets, all sorts of things under the McKevlin's label. But we also have another clothing line that's private label that we call Lines, L-I-N-E-S, which is also happens to be the name of our newsletter. So we have two private label lines, McKevlin's and Lines. And then also with McKevlin's, other than just clothing, we pretty much put our name on everything that we can possibly find. Pretty common to find stickers, keychains, koozies, things like that. But we also do pins, patches, beanies, leashes, wax combs, car rack pads, backpacks, beach towels. We even have, this year we started selling an air freshener for your car. Yeah, that's kind of unusual with our logo on it. And we sell hundreds of them. It's ridiculous how many we sell. So that's kind of how we sort of protect ourselves, I guess, from having to fight against Amazon's and the department stores and all of everything else that's out there. We create our own things as much as we can, and that's probably, I'd say, of clothing, that's probably 60 to 65% of the clothing that we sell is private label.
Wow.
And then that remaining 35% or so of the brands that we carry, we pick brands that not everybody has.
So this summer, with business being so good, what was selling? I mean, were there any standouts, whether it's brands or categories or...
Obviously, the private label thing is our big deal, and it seems like nowadays it used to be T-shirts were number one, and we probably sell just as many hats as we sell T-shirts. I don't know if there's an increase in baldness or what the deal is with that, but we really do sell tons and tons of hats, and that's a big online thing too. We probably sell more hats online than any other one item. A couple of things were actually surprises, pleasant surprises for us over the summer. One was that brand that I had mentioned, TCSS, which is, they claim that they've got probably the longest brand name in the business because it's actually the Critical Slide Society. It's very awkward to put on a T-shirt or to say very quickly. So a lot of people just say TCSS. But anyway, it's originally an Australian company, and it's very involved in surf. It's not mistaken for pretty much anything else. It is a surf clothing brand. And this was our first year, full year of doing their stuff, and that's been really, really good. It's a little bit different. It's Australia kind of has a whole different vibe as far as styles. You have to be careful because they get kind of pretty, a little crazy sometimes. So we have to curate and order very carefully what we get from them. But it's pretty forward thinking. It's more shorter board shorts, shorter walk shorts. Sometimes. Sort of aggressive, irreverent sort of T-shirt designs and hats and things like that. And that's done really much better than we expected, especially the board shorts. They seem to win awards for the board shorts in Australia for how they're good their designs are. Probably the other biggest surprise for us, this is going to sound weird, but was a toy that we picked up. It's called the Surfer Dude. Have you seen those around at all? We came across this thing called Surfer Dudes. It's at a company out of Orlando, Florida. And they've actually been at the Surf Expo a couple of times. But we sort of discovered them online before they started doing the expo. But it's a plastic sort of surfer guy, about 6 to 8 inches tall. And he's on this foam surfboard with a big giant fin. And it works almost like a boomerang. The two pieces of the surfer and the surfboard snap together. That's pretty much all you have to do as far as putting it together. They come in a lot of colorful character names and colors. And the kid just takes it. He's on the shore or in like up to his shins in water. And he throws it out. And magically, the surfer comes up to a prone position, and he rides the wave back into the shore.
Oh, boy, I bet they love that.
Where the kid grabs it and throws it back out, and, kids love to repeat the same thing over and over and over. So he's constantly doing that, and he gets his friends, and they have contests, and they have races, and all these sorts of crazy things. And we just sort of picked it up as a whim, hoping it would distract the kids. Maybe we won't sell a ton of them. Maybe it'll just be something that the kids will play with while they're in here and talk about. And it's turned into something where we've sold hundreds of them this summer, surprisingly. It sells for about $30. And like I say, we've sold hundreds of them. And what I've also found is that it's led to sales of a lot of other things in the shop where families will come in and they'll look around and They'll like shirts and hats and board shorts or whatever they see, but say, oh, we'll come back another time, or we'll wait till we shop the whole island before we decide what we're going to buy. And then Junior latches on to one of these surfer dudes, and he starts kicking and screaming until they finally say, okay, we agree, we'll buy it for you. And then the parents say, okay, this means we've got to get in line to pay and we've got to go through the checkout process. All right, let's go ahead and grab this T-shirt and hat or whatever that we were looking at before and be done with it. So it's surprised us in a couple of ways that way. It's sold a lot better, and it's sold other things that we had no clue were going to sell. So those were probably our two biggest surprises of the summer.
That's interesting. And one other brand that you carry that really surprised me is Vuori.
Yeah, I guess you've talked with those folks before. I think I've seen some things. I guess you know their story.
Yes.
They sort of started out as a yoga brand and were just men's yoga for the most part. And then they branched into more of sort of an all-sport exercise, sort of casual short. It just struck a nerve with our customers. It's the materials are so good, and just the quality of the build itself is so good. Some guys do surf in them. I mean, Vuori makes board shorts as well, but these knock-around sort of shorts, exercise-type shorts, just the lightness and the quality of them just appeals to a lot of folks, and it's a lot of surfers have gravitated toward it, too. That was another brand that we weren't quite so sure about when we first started, but smaller brand, that's kind of what we do. We like to take chances on newer brands. It really struck a nerve with people, and it's been great. It's been really successful. I guess another thing I should mention is, because that made me sort of sound like we were always jumping onto new brands. Part of our philosophy is that we're also very loyal to the brands that are loyal to us. Like I mentioned how Billabong, Quiksilver, Vulcan, some of those brands had increased their distribution and gone off to department stores and discounters and things like that. And the bigger brands like Lost and Rip Curl really tend to favor surf shops. And have, like, for Lost, we're the only ones in the Charleston area that sell it, or their distribution is that tight with Rip Curl. There's only one other surf shop, and they're way over on the north side of Charleston from us, as opposed to a lot of the other brands that sell everywhere and anywhere. So we've sold those two brands basically since they started. In fact, Rip Curl, we started selling before they even did clothing. We just did them back when they first started in wetsuits, and then we continued as they branched out into everything that they do today, watches and wetsuits and women's stuff and all that, everything else. But Lost, I guess we've been with them. We picked their clothing and their boards up at the same time and have been with them since the very first day that they started distributing to the world. These companies have been really good to us, and we've stuck with them and grown the business with them from one year to the next for with Rip Curl, it's been well over 30 years, 30 or 40 years, I guess.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, we're old. Yeah.
Well, let me just, I guess the last question I have for you is, you know, there's so much doom and gloom around sort of the future of the surf shop, right? And retail, really, brick and mortar in general. So You sound like you're pretty optimistic about the future. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I know. Well, there's definitely problems there, and we see it all the time. There's all these brands that are selling direct to the consumer. That's a tough nut to crack. And we're so old that we remember the days when that would have been considered unethical, that you count on the surf shop or you count on your dealers to sell your product, and you're the manufacturer. You're not also the retailer, and you wouldn't think of competing with the retailers. But that shows, like I say, how old I am. That's not the case anymore, and they don't have any qualms about directly competing with, you know, our loyalty to them and our helping make their brand credible and justify that it should be out there and people should have it and all that sort of good stuff. That aside, and there's also the problems with showrooming. We have a lot of that where people will come in and try things on and, you know, and then order it online or order it from some discounter or something. Like I said, we sort of think we have a little bit of that taken care of since we do so much private label and we do the smaller brands that aren't so common and easy to find. But we also do a lot in our community that I think coming in our surf shop is not, it's not like another retail store. It's coming in and sort of being immersed in surfing and experiencing the surf world. And a lot of people, whether they're really surf themselves or they're that passionate about it, as we think they should be, if they come in and they're just a little bit interested in it, they find that it's almost like, in a way, we've become like a Disney World for surfing. Not that we have rides or anything like that, but people are entertained when they come in here. Where it's not, oh, do you want fries with that and get out the door? We like to talk with people and find out why they're here and what they do and what we'd like to tell them, sort of express how passionate we are about surfing, and it sort of bleeds over into them a little bit. We do a lot of things here with local groups, help sponsor the ESA, and always giving things to groups like Surfers Healing, the autism group, Surf Rider Foundation, schools, churches, city events that are here. We have a big customer appreciation night every year for our best customers, just a private sale for them, and we give away hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of stuff to them. Every year we put on a contest just for little kids, 18 and under, and that's been super, super successful. All of those things, I think surf shops just today need to think a little bit more and not just sit back and look in a magazine and grab the five or six biggest companies that are advertising the biggest, most number of pages in the magazine or something. You need to think a little bit more, do a little bit more research, create designs, your own designs that are unique, brands that are smaller, all those kind of things, I think, make us unique. But it's not something that any other surf shop can't also do as well, and I think be just as successful.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I appreciate you talking to me so much.
Sure. I hope I made some sense.
Oh, you did. You did. I can't wait to get there and see the store.
Yeah, please. Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find previous podcast interviews on our website under the podcast tab. Thank you also to our sponsors and to our Executive Edition members. We appreciate each and every one of you.